I'm a salesperson, but I'm going to leave now and not ask you any more questions.
We have a very happy customer who will never become a very happy client.
Both these agents worked really hard to not get the business.
She wasn't ready for the phone call.
That made me realize, listening to this, I'm like, wait a minute. Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis, back for another week. We had a little bit of a break there. Wasn't that glorious? End of the summer break.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because I was just thinking, I'm like, it's been a long time since you and I have actually spent any time doing Cash Call. I was having a little bit of withdrawal. So it's good to be back for sure. I'm excited about it. So.
Yeah, I've been recently listening to a lot of calls from clients. I mean, you know, a lot of people out there are struggling with the whole buyer-broker relationship agreement issues, introducing it, discussing it, overcoming objections around it. So we've been working with a lot of clients talking about this because it's everybody has to deal with it, which I don't know about you, Brian. I don't understand how it's even possible that this is an enforced business practice. But I feel like that's a different argument for a different time.
Yeah, I'll give 2 cents on it. It's not a law, by the way. It's a settlement. And then so if you break the settlement, then they can come and sue you. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. It's not like the law changed, at least not in my state. I'm not going to speak for any other state except the ones I'm licensed in. But the law hasn't changed in either state that I'm licensed in. And so yeah. I don't know. My experience has been relatively transparent. And what I mean by it, just we haven't seen a big effect on it. And I can't speak to every other agent or every other market, but here's what it does. It makes me have to answer a lot more text messages. What's the commission on 123 Main Street? Okay, click. That's a pain in the ass. But besides that, I haven't seen a significant amount. There's a couple more pieces of paperwork.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, in working with individual agents and teams all over the place, some of the issues that we're running into or that they're running into that we're helping them with are, you know, the buyer says, I can't afford to pay you. I'm just going to go to the listing agent. Listing agents are having difficulty communicating why a seller should offer a buyer agent compensation. And so you've got weak listing agents who are not able to best advise their clients to make that offer. You've got, you know, agents, unfortunately, who don't have the experience of doing this and haven't worked with us yet, who when they receive a lead that wants to go see a house and the agent's like, oh, I have this big 14-page contract I need you to review and sign because I sell houses in California. You know, those are just some of the way that you're presenting it is obviously an issue. And the fact that you're being forced to do something which is really kind of counterintuitive to the way most business works, which is get a prospect in the door, get the prospect to like you, demonstrate some value. If you're going to engage the prospect in a relationship, you then present that concept. Not, oh, hi, Brian, stranger to me. You'd like to go see a house? Well, you've got to sign a contract with me that's binding, and you can't get out of it, even if you have friends and family you want to work with anyway. So it's just kind of a backwards business practice that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. I didn't think we were going to talk about this, but hell, let's talk about it, right? So a couple of things that I've seen to overcome those objections are, first of all, I agree. Don't send somebody. I think mine's only 7 pages long, but if it's more than 1 page long, people are going to freak out, right?
California's is 13 or 14 pages.
I believe it. My actual contract when I started in real estate was 6 pages long. Today it's 17. Last year it was 13. So they added like 4 more pages since they've done this thing. So yeah, we got these big, long contracts now. So a couple of things that I've seen that have worked is a specific contract for that house and that house only is one way to deal with it. So at least if they buy that house, you're not going to get screwed. And then the other thing I've seen is 1 day contracts for the people who, if that gives you the opportunity, hey, I'll tell you what, we'll sign a 1 day contract. So tomorrow you won't be employed with me. And then if you decide you like working with me after I show you this house, then we can actually do a long-term contract. So I've seen both of those things be pretty effective ways to deal with it. Here's not an effective way. I'm going to send you my 17-page contract. See you at the house at 2:00 today. That is not a good way to do it.
So. No. Put that into the category of don't do that. I actually have a call that deals with this today and one of the situations that arise when you have this conversation up front like this. Now, in full disclosure, right, the old way that we used to do things before we had to have a paper signed, in a lot of cases was, hey, we're going to show you this house, do a little discovery. At some point, I'm going to figure out whether or not you have an agent that you're working with. So what we're going to hear is a call where, because of the requirement of this document, it forces out that the buyer or that this prospect has an agent or has an agent that they would work with. However, the way that this agreement or contract, the BBA, gets brought up makes it weird. And what we're going to listen to is what I think an ineffective way of handling this on the agent's part. And I think that we can, you and I can script this out and change it a little bit to make it more effective for them.
Perfect.
Hi, this is I received your showing request for today at 3 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, perfect. I will go ahead and get that requested with the sellers. If that time does not work for the sellers for whatever reason, is there another good day or time for you guys?
Okay, now I want to point out how great this intro is, right? Hey,
please.
Killing it. Perfect intro, right? Yep. So she answered, this is Zillow Flex, obviously. She answers the Zillow Flex call with who she is, telling the prospect that she's received the information, confirms it, and then asks them to reaffirm with her, right? Hi, this is blank with blank, right? You've inquired about a property at wherever and want to go see it at this time. Is that correct? So it basically says, hey, here's who I am. You're in the right spot. I have your information. I know what's going on, rather than expecting the lead or leaving it up to the lead to direct where the conversation goes. She confirms the time and then says, if it doesn't work for the sellers, is there another time that would work for you? So textbook. Perfect.
Yeah. And let me talk about something real quick. I love that she blamed the third party. I don't know what this woman's schedule is. I don't know if she's even available today at 3 o'clock, but she's already set it up that we might not be able to see it today at 3 o'clock, and it's not my fault.
And it's not her fault.
It's not her fault, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can call any other real estate agent that's not going to fix the problem because it's the seller. And that's just absolutely brilliant. If you're not doing that, start using that language. It is so powerful. Hey, I'm absolutely available 24/7. Now the seller isn't, because they don't, right. Even a vacant house, the seller still has to approve the showing, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to take credit for this being one of our clients. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take credit for that part. Now we're going to hear the train go off the rails a little bit. That's not my fault.
You're not going to take credit for that.
I'm not taking credit for that. No, we're working on fixing these parts. That's why we listen to the calls, right? Sure. So we've stuck the land. We stuck the intro, right? We're doing great. Now we're going to hear where basically it goes over a cliff. So, this is something we're actively working on.
We could do after that too, if that doesn't work for them.
Okay. Does any time later than today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. I will keep that in mind. While I'm getting that requested, what do you guys like about this home?
A lot of things. I think the property itself,
I'll break in and tell you what the format is that we teach, which is affirm that the caller is in the right place and we know what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Book the appointment, ask one or two rapport building questions, then introduce the BBA. So you're going to hear how that goes.
All right, kids are getting a little crazy.
it's okay.
The property itself, the floor plan, we love like a kind of like an older house with like modern like renovations. Like, just, it's a really cool house.
Yeah, it definitely is a unique property, especially being in Fishers. You don't usually get one that looks so unique like that.
Yeah.
Cool. And I assume since you're calling through Zillow, you are not working with a real estate agent currently?
No. She just asked this question. As a result of this training, we are moving that question or anything like it after the intro of the BBA.
Okay.
And I can tell you why. You probably already know why.
But hey, let's talk about it though, because I think it's
sure. Because when I introduce the BBA, naturally, if there really is an attachment to an agent, it's much more likely to pop up as a result of me introducing the BBA rather than me asking about agent. Because listen to the answer that this guy gives to the question of, I assume that since you're looking on the internet, you don't have an agent, right? You're going to hear the answer that he gives. Now, I don't know about you, Brian. In my opinion, my experience, I don't think that it's that serious, or I don't know that it's that serious, but his answer will derail the way that this conversation goes. And you're going to hear what I mean by that.
Yeah, cool. Before you do that, I want to just piggyback on what Dale just said. Guys, we used to ask the question, I used to ask it differently, but I'm trying to figure out, do they have an agent? And I agree, we don't have to do that anymore as a standalone, because when we introduce the BBA, broker buyer agreement, then by definition, they're like, if it's all of a sudden we start signing that, they're going to go, whoa, wait, I got an agent. So it's a really great, now you don't have to ask that question. And I've always hated that question, to be honest, because people do all kinds of weird crap with it. So in a lot of ways, this can be helpful. But anyway, yeah, go ahead and play some more.
Not currently, no. We have a friend that's a real estate agent, but this property kind of just popped up and we thought like, hey, we've been kind of looking around the last 6 months or so, kind of waiting for a house we like to pop up. And, you know, this one, we're like, hey, let's go see it. Let's go check.
Okay, now they have a friend, right?
Everybody's got a friend.
Everybody's got, I mean, dude, everybody knows a real estate agent or two. So everybody's got a friend. But hear how that answer now derails this agent that requires, and this is a great agent. She just needs training around this. But listen to what happens.
Okay. Would you be wanting to use them if you wanted to move forward?
We'd probably use our friend that's a real estate agent.
Okay. I would, because I'm actually an agent myself. So when you call through Zillow, you get other real estate agents basically. And now in order to show homes, all real estate agents have to get a disclosure signed, just explaining like how we get paid, how we work together. So I would suggest if you.
No, I taught them to say disclosure instead of contract because they were saying contract, and contract tends to be scary to strangers.
It is.
So we can argue about disclosure or not, but I don't care.
I don't care about that. I will say this, though, and I don't know, maybe she's going to use some of this language. What I like to talk about when I'm saying with the BBA or any such or anything dealing with the settlement is what we're doing now is being more transparent. And the reason I'm using that verbiage is what I'm saying to the client or potential client is I'm doing this to help you, not because I want to do it. Well, for record, I don't want to do it, but I'm doing this because we are now being more transparent with you. Oh, that's better, isn't it? Yeah, good, sign here. So we're trying to show them it's a benefit to them to sign our contract.
So let's, and I think that makes a lot of sense. So just to set this context back for people listening to this. So what happened is the guy said, oh, we have a friend. She says, oh, well, would you want to use the friend? Right. That's a terrible question. The guy's going to say, no, I don't want to use my friend. Of course, he's going to say yes. He's going to have to almost have to say yes to that.
Right.
It's just not a good question. And now she's saying, oh, well, because if for us to show this house, I have to have a disclosure sign that says X, Y, and Z. And so now we're going to hear what happens as a result of her presenting that.
If you are wanting to move forward, like if you did want to move forward with this home, that you'd be using your friend, I would give them a call, honestly. Okay. Because if I show it and everything, then we'll kind of have to go through the process together, which I'm fine. Okay. I'm happy.
Now, see, here's my problem with this, Brian, is we're salespeople. Get the business. The guy didn't say, oh, I want to work with my friend, or he didn't get on the phone and say, oh, hi, yeah, I'd like to go see that house. But just to let you know, we'll be working with my friend because we've done business with them in the past, or they're actively working with us and they're out of town right now. That's a different scenario than what we're hearing right here. And so my argument is, listen, we're salespeople. And I gave these agents, as I was training them, three criteria. They had to check at least one out of three criteria under which they could not chase the business down. And what I said is, one, they've signed an agreement with another agent that done. Is exclusive. Yep. You're done. Or two, they are actively working with the agent and the agent's been doing work for them and the consumer is really happy with that experience so far. Or three, they have worked with them many times in the past, had great results, and they have no intentions of working with anyone else, right? I said, listen, if you can't check one of those boxes with your discovery and your conversation with this prospect, then you literally have a moral obligation to attempt to offer this consumer your services as long as you believe that you provide a very high level of service, right, and quality. You have to do that. So that's, you know, if you take it from that perspective, you're going to have a very different conversation than what we're hearing here, where this agent is like, oh, hey, well, if you've got a sign with somebody and you have a friend, you know, that you think you'd work with, maybe you should go sign with them instead. That is not sales.
No, that's called punting. Like, there's nothing. You punted. It's funny because I'm going to play a call a little bit later. Same thing. We just punted. And I don't understand the punt because the punt is a no. So
right.
I guess maybe, you know, as salespeople, we might want to start embracing the no. Like, because she's going to get off this call and go, well, I didn't get a no. Hell yeah, you got a no. And
you told him no. You told him no twice.
Seriously. And, you know, and so, yeah, the person didn't say, no, I don't want to work with you. But that's because you didn't ask a question where you gave him a chance to say yes or no, I want to work with you. So you got, well, I'll just call it an implied no. And the other thing I want to note about this agent, and I agree, especially listening to the front end of her conversation, she's probably pretty good. She just has experience handling this exact scenario. Because sometimes we get into a scenario that we just don't know how to handle. That's what it sounds like is going on here. But I'll also say she's making some assumptions. I assume since you called on Zillow and then she said something, I'm like, what does Zillow have to do with that assumption? So I want to tell all salespeople, stop making any assumptions. Just ask the question. You know, I think she said, I assume since you called on Zillow, you don't have an agent. Is that what it was?
Basically.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great question, honestly. It's a persuasive question.
Okay. But it's not a question. It's making an assumption. It's saying, I assume that since you called Zillow, you don't have an agent.
Yeah. So my interpretation of that, and the reason I like the question, is because she's saying, hey, when people call on Zillow, it means they don't have an agent. You are doing it the right way, correct? Is essentially what she's proposing with that question or the way it's phrased.
If she finishes it with a tie down, I'm okay. You know,
okay.
This is what I see people do. I assume that since you're calling me on Zillow, you don't have an agent. So when would you like to go see the house? Da, 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 da. Like, they don't get the opportunity to have the discussion. They just make the assumption and move on.
Yeah. And
there are times you want to do that, but very, very few.
Yeah. So she did tie it down. She said, I assume that since you're looking on Zillow or looking online, that you're not working with an agent currently. Correct. Right.
Right.
And then that's when he said, we do have a friend who's an agent, but we don't have one right now. But he did affirm we don't have an agent. And then he mentioned we do know someone, and that screwed it up for her.
Yeah. With just a tweak of training, this agent's going to be good at handling this objection next time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if we go back to the flow, this is why when I listened to this, great question. I mean, I personally like the question of, I assume because you're looking, you don't have an agent. But that made me realize listening to this, I'm like, wait a minute. When I introduce the BBA to you, hey, Brian, and I'll give you guys a little bit of scripting. This is the way that we're doing the intro right now. I've confirmed the appointment. I ask you a couple of rapport building questions, right? And then I ask, Brian, how familiar are you with what real estate agents have to do now in order to show homes listed on the MLS?
Yeah, so I don't know what you're talking about, Dale. I don't know what you mean.
That's the way we ask the question. And then I say, well, now as of July 1st, the requirement of all agents is that we have to have a disclosure signed with any new buyer that just says, what happens if you buy the home, how we get paid, and how long we would work together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
That's it, right? Now, so we intro the BBA. And move any question later if you want to ask about agent, if you're not quite sure, you know, if Brian sounds a little shifty. All right, well, he said we're cool with the BBA, essentially, but I want to kind of test this a little bit more to make sure he doesn't really have another agent. Then you could ask, I think. But with the intro of that BBA conversation, that usually flushes it out.
So let's just have this quick discussion, Dale. So let's pretend we're agents for a second. And so are you actually sending that BBA over, telling them to review it and then say, hey, when we're in person, I'll answer any questions you have and then we'll go ahead and sign it. What is your process for that?
So I have been leaving this up to the individual clients. It really depends on what they feel comfortable with. So one option is I say, hey, Brian, does that make sense? And if you say, yeah, I say, yeah. Great. Yeah, sounds great. Okay, we can review that document, sign it just before we go into the home. I'll see you at the address at this time, right? Yeah. So that's one way, keeping it as simple as possible. Or the other option, if agents don't feel comfortable with that or they're running into issues around it, hey, Brian, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, excellent. Here's what we can do. We can either quickly jump on Zoom just to review this document, or I can explain it to you briefly when I see you at address and we can sign it then. Which do you prefer?
Right. Perfect. And I think that's a great way to go. And here's what I don't want to see agents do. Say exactly what Dale and I said. By the way, I'll send it to DocuSign. Go ahead and sign it when I get there, because it's going to scare people. Like every one of these contracts is written by an attorney, right? I've never read a contract written by an attorney that didn't scare me on some level. I mean, it's just
right.
The verbiage is not, it's confusing. It's wordy. It's all of these things. And so we want to be able to be there and just show how simple and easy it is versus just be like, hey, sign this document. You're just agreed to pay me $25,000. And by the way, that actually could be the case. It sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but it's not. Like, you know, you got a $1 million home, 2.5%, making 25K. You know, it's a real thing. So,
yeah, I kind of follow the rule of if the document I'm going to put in front of you talks about money, I want to explain it to you directly.
I love that.
That's kind of my rule. Yeah,
directly is on Zoom, in person, by your definition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of the way I do it.
And I would actually be okay sending a document to somebody who's not Zoom, and thank God that's not true that much anymore, who's not Zoom savvy, and just literally going over it on the phone as well. I would be okay with that, but that is plan C. You know, A is I meet in person, B is I do Zoom, C is we talk about it on the phone and I go over it line by line and get you an agreement. But
yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing it that way.
But just sending it to them and go, hey, read that and give me a quick signature.
Yeah, I don't recommend that. You don't recommend that. If it talks about money, I don't recommend that. All right, what do you got for us today?
Well, I've got a real short call. And the reason it's a short call is, again, I feel like we punted. And I just want to show people, I bet you I could play this call, not for any of our listeners, but for a group of real estate agents who aren't our listeners. And they would go, well, yeah, of course, the agent did a great job. And I'm going to show you why I think that's not remotely true.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, this I'm with. I just got a call from Realtor.com. I'm a local realtor here in town, so they're okay. Just connecting me. If you have any questions.
Yes, I was just kind of taking a look around. See what's kind of around. I'm about to graduate dental school and just kind of looking around in the area, the maybe different places that I might want to live.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, look, use our website, because anywhere you look, they're going to make you register.
Okay. So Aiden's actually a really good agent. I feel like she had a brain aneurysm slight right before this phone call. Don't know. It was like she wasn't ready for the phone call. Hello, Realtor.com called me. So a couple of things.
Hold on. I just want to ask a question, especially for the audience. So was this a live connection? I haven't worked Realtor.com leads in a while.
We do get live connections, but this is not a live connection. What this is we use a system called Callingly. So when I get an email Realtor.com lead, what it does is it calls the agent, and then the agent presses 1, and then it calls the lead.
Okay, so, got it.
So technically, from the lead's perspective, we called them.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that was a terrible intro script.
Yeah, I don't even think it was an intro script. So
yeah, I think she just made that up.
Yeah, and I know this happens, guys. One of the things I want to say about this is you guys may not have seen this or noticed it, but for the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds, it was silent. And I think that threw the agent off. And then she got stuck on, you know, because she was like, hello, one of those situations. So there was an audible disconnect. And guys, that's just technology. So if that happens and the person says, hello, if we go, hey, I apologize. This is Brian Curtis with Curtis Realty Group. I'm reaching out to you today because Realtor.com asked me to give you a call. They said you made an inquiry about 123 Main Street. Just checking in and see if you guys would like to make an appointment to go see that, or if you have any questions. Some version of that, but you've got to do, if you fall off your script, you have to jump back up and get back on your script, because otherwise it just turns into a show.
So. Yeah, and I want to just say this. The reason for, you know, we generally teach that kind of like the intros, a couple of approaches around certain objections. and closing for appointments or next steps and your value proposition, like why somebody should work with you. Those are really kind of the only points, in my opinion, that need to be really well scripted. Mm-hmm. And they're well scripted for reasons, right? So with this, you know, the script that you gave, it's because I want to tell you who I am, why I'm calling, what I want to know, and I'm going to ask you a direct question or give you the opportunity to punt or object to me or whatever it is, right? That's the structure of what you just said in your intro, and you need to nail that. There's a reason for it.
Yeah, and you notice there's an either or at the end. You know, we also do the window shop. Would you guys like to, are you guys looking to make a move soon, or you like to go window shopping? Would you like to go see the house, or do you have some questions? I like either ors, double binds, or whatever you want to call those. Because here's the thing, would you like to do this or this? No, you can't say that. You sound like an idiot. And so there's a thing that's just basically programmed into us, basically automated responses, right? It's in Jeb Blunt's book. If you've ever read it, it's a pretty good book called Objections. He talks about how we have all these automatic responses as people. And so when I say, when I ask somebody a question, would you like me to do this? No, that's always my default. No. Can I help you? No. Would you have any questions? No. So asking either or questions, you can't just blurt out the no. You actually have to engage your brain and say, no, neither of those things are what I want. Oh, okay. And now we're having a conversation. Great. What do you want? Now we're having a conversation. So, and then I'm just going to rewind this a couple of seconds, Dale. I saw the look on your face and we'll talk about it. And honestly, I'm just going to let the whole thing play to the end because there's not very much time left on it. And then we'll finish it up.
Different places that I might want to live.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, look, use our website because anywhere you look, they're going to make you register and you're going to get these calls. But like I said, we're local. So go ahead, use this website. And then if you do have questions, you can just reach me back through that website. And I'll send you my info here. So if you have questions about Northwest Arkansas, just feel free to ask and I'll happy to answer your questions for you. Does that work?
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, awesome. Can I ask really quick, what's your name? Got it. Okay. All right, I'll put it in there. I'll make sure all the AI stuff is turned off so you shouldn't be bugged. But yeah, use the website and then just reach out if you have questions, okay?
All right, I really appreciate it.
Yes.
So what we have here is a non-client who's very happy. Oh, they got exactly what they wanted.
Oh my God. Hi, I'm a salesperson, but I'm going to leave now and not ask you any more questions. And you just call me back if you want to do something. That's what just happened.
It's okay. I'll write another check and buy another lead. But you guys heard me talk about during the last call is this person didn't choose to be a salesperson. This person chose to be a customer service. Amazing customer service. We have a very happy customer who will never become a very happy client.
Well, and if they do, we certainly worked hard to make them not a client. Let's put it, they got to swim upstream like a salmon to become a client of ours.
Yes. And here's the other question. Like, I don't even understand why we went there.
I don't know either.
To me, that's a punt. Like, well, this is going like crap and there's nothing I'm going to say. I'm sick of talking to this person or, you know, their budget's $70,000. That's when I use that script. Hey, keep looking on our website because I don't want to work with you, but I don't want to be a dick about it. That's when
Do you think that's what happened in this call? She heard, graduating from dental school. He doesn't have any money. Then she punted.
Maybe, but you know what? Graduating from dental school, I don't know if you guys know this. That's a doctor loan. That's 100% financing guaranteed loan, assuming that they don't have IRS debt or something like that. But as long as this person graduates from college or graduates from dental school, there's a doctor loan. It is an amazing loan. What an opportunity to say, hey, have you shopped for a loan? No, by the way, I've got a guy I'll refer you to him. He handles this. He's a specialist. They have these things called doctor loans, da, 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 da. I mean, oh my God, why did we punt?
Does your mortgage company offer doctor loans?
Everybody does. It's not a special. It's a Fannie Freddie product. It's not a.
No, my point is, I want you to write an invoice and send it to this agent for the mortgage that was not captured or the attempt that was not even attempted.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying, guys, is both of these calls got a no. And guess what? Neither of them had a no.
Both of, yeah, it's funny how our calls matched up. Both these agents worked really hard to not get the business. You know, use your powers for good and not evil, agents. Do the work to get the business. Not, don't do the work to not get the business.
After listening to this call, I think I'm going to have a contest to see who can get hung up the most on my team. You know, like, let's push it to the other extreme where we're getting hung up on. I'd rather, honestly, I'd rather get hung up on than not try.
I have an ISA that I'm working with right now who struggles with actually asking for appointments. And so right now her homework assignment is every single conversation she has, she must ask for an appointment 3 times, no matter how stupid or ridiculous it is. And then we listen to the calls and see if it's actually happening. So you got to get, you know, when you force somebody to do that, they get creative to just make it up. And it's like desensitivity training or whatever, right? Hey, you're afraid of snakes. I'm going to, you know, put you in a box full of snakes. Pretty soon you kind of get over it.
It's really funny, Dale. You know, I went to a training for 3 weeks in California last month. One of the days what they have us do is, and it's a training on how to present, be in front of people. And one of the days they basically put you on stage in front of people and just harass the ever loving shit out of you so that you get used to that. And then when, if it were to happen in the real world, you just like, whatever, I don't care. And yeah. That's what Dale's saying. I mean, practice getting someone being rude to you. Practice it's going to happen. I'm not saying that you should focus on it, but practice what happens. Someone tells you you're a horrible human being, da 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 da. What do? You can hang up, or maybe you can figure out a way to overcome that. One of my favorite stories is one of our agents going like this, gets yelled at, gets told to F off. She hangs up the phone, or the guy hangs up on her, and she texts him and says, "Hey, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. If you need anything in real estate, please let me know." That's it. We closed that guy.
Nice.
It's one of my favorite stories because she was like, well, I mean, what are you going to do? What's he going to do? Say F off again? You know, who cares? You know, it doesn't hurt it. So,
well, we got to wrap up today's show, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis, Cash Call. We'll be back next week to bring you more magical techniques and strategies to book more appointments. Right, Brian?
We'll be here with bells on.